fifth study. Now we're holding at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, the third line. We started dealing with the question yesterday of the structure of our Mishnah. It starts by saying Kol Kinuyim Nedarim Kinedarim, and then a number of other things also where the Kinuyim of them are like them. Then instead of talking about Kinuyim, which we said are alternate words for neder, for example, instead of a classic neder, as a person says that such and such is like a korban to me, instead you have words like koinam and koinach and whatever, which are kinuyim. But instead of explaining the kinuyim, it leaves those for later on in our perek for the Mishnah and Daf Yud. And instead it starts talking about yodos, which are partial declarations. For example, when one person says to the other, mudrani mincha, I am under a neder from you, where he's not saying anything about the word isu, he's not saying anything about the word korban or any one of its synonyms, but we understand from what he's saying that he wants to say that the other person's food or that the other person's food is also to him. So the question was, first of all, why we left out the word yodos, why we did not even mention the word yodos before starting to define it. And we were also discussing the question, assuming that we stick it in the middle, because we can say chasuri mechsara, the Tana meant to mention yodos, but then forgot to, then we have a structure, A-B-B-A, a chiastic structure, as we talked about it yesterday, where he says, he mentions kinuyim, then yodos, then he starts defining, implicitly mentions yodos, then starts defining yodos, and only then later on is going to go back to kinuyim. So we were discussing why that should be so. We left off that it's fine. Some Tanoim choose one way, some choose the other way. There's no particular advantage to one over the other. Now the Gemara is going to give a different answer, where the answer, both the Ran and the Rosh say, the thrust of the answer is going to be that it's true that sometimes you find Mishnayos one way morning and some the other way, but here there is actually a particular reason why the Tana chose to put it in this structure. Namely, the Gemara says, third line of Gimel Amud Aleph, V'yiboyisema yodos. Another answer, you can say the reason why the Tana of the Mishnah starts defining yodos first before getting to kinuyim is Aidi da'asyon midrasha, since the whole concept of yodos we learn from a drasha, as we're going to talk about further down on the Amud, what we have, when it comes to kinuyim, we don't really have a drasha for it because the Ran points out later on, however you look at it, we talked about yesterday what kinuyim are. If they're words from Goyish languages, there's no question those would work, the same way as it works to say a promise or a vow or an oath or whatever in whatever language you want. Of course, it's chal. So the same way, the word koinam, it comes from a Goyish language, so it would be the same thing. Or if you say it's l'shonus shabadu lahem chachamim, if you say that it's words that the chachamim invented, then either, as the Ran said on Beis Amud Aleph, fine, but those have at least no less status than any language of the Goyim. Or we would say that, in fact, the Torah is not meramas on them, precisely because they were invented by the chachamim. So either way, fine, you won't have a drosha for those. But you do have a drosha for yodos. How we know that yodos are effective, as we're going to talk about further on the Yomud. So since they come from a drosha, then mefarish lahoin bereisha. Then he wants to explain one. Then he wants to explain them first. Either you have, because the Tana will usually begin with the things that usually the Tana will begin by mentioning the things that are more well known, but then to explain them, he's going to explain the things that come from a drosha, which are less obvious and more complicated to understand. And in addition, also that's the Ran says, and the Mefarish printed as Rashi says also, the fact is that we have the Gemara mentions in other places that when you have something that's learned from a drosha, chovivle, it's more precious to the Tana, and therefore he wants to discuss it first. So the question then is, v'liftach hodein bereisha. Okay, so start talking about yodos first. In that case, still, why the structure, kinuyim yodos, yodos kinuyim, if you're saying we want to discuss yodos first because we learned them from a drasha, then you should also mention them first. And we said that he doesn't, because yodos, we said the word yodos is not mentioned in the Mishnah at all. But at least we said when a person leaves out words, it's more likely to be in the middle than at the beginning. So therefore, we assume that the Tana actually meant to start with kinuyim, and then he meant to start with yodos, and he forgot to say the word yodos and just jumps right into defining what yodos are. Give him a moment, Aleph. You're in the right place. So why doesn't it do it in that order? And the answer is exactly that. Miftach pasach b'chinuyim d'oraisa b'reisha. First, it starts out with kinuyim, which are d'oraisa. Now, how are kinuyim d'oraisa? So again, because since we're saying that kinuyim are that's what the Gemara is going to ask. If we say that kinuyim are words from other languages, then sure, we can say they have the force of it d'oraisa, because there's nothing in the Torah anywhere that suggests that a neder davka has to be in a specific language. So it seems very poshut that if you use the equivalent word in any other language, it's going to work. So that's the Gemara is going to take that point up in a second. If we say the Lashon is Shabbat Ulam Chachamim, then how are we going to explain that? But first, let's assume, according to the opinion, that they are words from Goyish languages that are used for this purpose. And we talked about yesterday. So in that case, why do we have a short list? Then why do we have the list Koinam Koinach at all? Just say that they're kosher in any language. So the Ran talked about yesterday, we said that the Tana wanted to stress to us that even these kinds of things even these words, they do ultimately come from Lashon Kodesh into those other languages. They just got corrupted and wound up in those other languages. So therefore, in other words, it's one thing, though, let's say the English word vow, you can't really find any direct relationship between it and Lashon Kodesh. So there's no question, fine, that would be valid. That would work in order to create a neder. But a word like koinam, yes, it comes from one of the surrounding Goyish languages, but where did they in turn get it from? They apparently got it from Lashon Kodesh, which over time was corrupted and changed and entered their languages. So you wouldn't realize that those are valid, and therefore the Tana is telling you that they are.
Weren't they corrupted by
Bavel? No, well, they may have been corrupted by Bavel, but we may even be talking about later on as well. You may have, over time, as Jews live in the surrounding Goyish societies, over time, the Goyim hear Jews using words like korban, and eventually they slur it into words like koinam or whatever, and those become words in their language. Think of how many words there are in an average goy might use in America, for example, that actually come from Hebrew or from Yiddish without them even realizing it, you know. So we can say that kinuyim are d'oraisa. So therefore, the Tana begins with those. V'hodim aforish yodes to asin the v'hodim aforish yodes. Then he doesn't actually mention the word yodos, okay, he left it out, but then when he starts explaining, he wants to start yodos first, the asyan le midrasha, because those come from a drasha. So again, we can say that, like the Mefarish says, those are more chaviv, those are more precious to the Tana, therefore he wants to start saying them first, or just because when we're explaining things, we want to explain the less obvious first before we get back to the more obvious. Okay, the Gemara said, so that would explain, in other words, so yes, so there are some Mishnayos that are phrased in the form A, B, A, B. There are others like our Mishnah that are phrased as A, B, B, A. So before we were saying, when we left off yesterday, we were saying there's no particular rhyme or reason to it. Whatever each Tana decided on his own, that he likes the style, he would do that. Now we're saying there's a good reason for it, because in fact, the Tana wanted to begin on the one hand with something that's d'oraisa, but then start explaining for something that is only for d'orasha. So the Gemara says, well, that works out well according to the understanding that kinuyim are lashonis of the goyim. As we said, you have the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan later on in our perek that kinuyim come from the local Goyish languages. So then we can say that those have the force of a neder d'oraisa. But if you say that those are words that the Chachamim invented, Shabadu, by the way, the Ran and the Rosh relate that to Yavah Pasik by Yeravam, Achodesh Shabadu Miliba. Actually, here now we're in Chodesh Cheshvan. The Pasik describes how he invented a new Yom Tov Sukkos, that he invented a new Yom Tov Sukkos in the month of Cheshvan instead of in the month of Tishrei. And then the Pasuk calls it a Shabodah Milibah that he invented out of his own mind. So the same way over here, when we say Lashon is Shabodah Lahem Chachamim, means that the Chachamim invented these words. And the reason for it is, we touched on it briefly yesterday, it explains later on in the Perek, people would say the word Korban Lashem, because that's the expression in the Pasuk. Odom Ki Yakum Kem Korban Lashem. People then also might end up saying, instead of saying Korban Lashem, they might say Lashem Korban. the same way as you have, you know, one person says Shalom Aleichem and the other one answers Aleichem Shalom. So, you know, two Jews can never agree on anything. So, so the same way, so a second person might say Lashem Korban, then the Chachamim were concerned, what if the person says Lashem and then something happens? They change their mind and decide they don't want to make this neder, or they die on the spot, and then it comes out that they've used Shem Shamayim Levatolah. So therefore, the Chachamim wanted to discourage that kind of thing, which is why, according to the Shlokish, the Chachamim promoted the use of words that they invented, like Koinam or whatever, where you're not mentioning Hashem's name at all, and therefore you don't have that problem. Worth mentioning, Derech Agav, in that connection, so they say in explanation, Sataka, why is it that one person says Shalom Aleichem and the other one answers Aleichem Shalom? So there is the Gleich Vertel that everyone's quoted in a Sicha, that two Jews can never agree on anything. But there is actually a more serious reason that they bring also for why that is. The Vert is, there's Gemara in Megillah and other places that says that being Makdim Shalom L'chol Adam, that you greet the other person first, helps for Arichus Yom. We find, for example, Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai was asked by Meher Rachti Yomim, and he says that's one of the things that he did. So now, now Shalom is a name of Hashem. The person who's initiating the greeting, he can say Shalom Aleichem. He can put Hashem's name first. There's no concern that he's going to die in the middle of it because that helps Farichas Yomim. Mashenkin, the other person answering, does not have that advantage. Therefore, better let him answer Aleichem Shalom rather than putting Shalom first, because what if he dies after saying the word Shalom? So therefore, that's a serious reason why we do it in that order. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So if we say, again, if we say that, if we say...
Not another word. Out.
Yeah.
Make your noise.
Oh. Sorry, one second. Yeah, we're about 7 or 8 lines from the top of Gimel Lamed Aleph. So if we say Ella, the line begins Hey. So thank you. So Ella Lamander Amal Ashonis Shabadu Lahem Chachamim. If we say that the Kinuyim are actually terms that the Chachamim invented in order to serve in place of Korban Hashem, Lias Noda Boy, to use for a neder, my Ikalamemar, then the question is going to be, then what are you going to say? You can't really call such things Daraisa. Now, what does that mean? The Ran says the fact is they are Daraisa. As we said before, the Ran said, certainly terms that the Chachamim are invented have no less strength than terms that the Goyim invented. If the Goyim came up, and in some country they came up with the idea that the word vow means a promise, and that's binding on a person if he says, then no less so if the Chachamim decided that the word koinam means a neder. But the point is, still the Ran says, the fact is we can't say it's more poshut than yodus. What's the point we're saying why we would put something daraisa first is because it's more poshut. Something that it says clearly in the pasuk, or something not really clearly, something that we have a drosha from before a pasuk, as we're going to go on to say, is more poshut than something that's only dirabanan. So then we would say that. But if kinuyim themselves, if we don't even have them explicitly in the pasuk, we just have to use that kind of logic to get them, then they're no more obvious than yodas. That's according to the Ram. Tosfos actually discusses back and forth the question of whether, in fact, if a person uses these kinuyim, does it have the force of a neder daraisa, or maybe only drabanan? In fact, Tosfos brings that yes, it's daraisa, same as the Ran is saying. Then they bring from Rabbeinu Yechiel that no, actually they bring from Yerushalmi. That, for example, if a person were to make, let's say, a nazirus with it, if a person were to become a nazir using a kinuy, and we're going to learn later on in the parak, same way as there are kinuyim for regular. Nidorim, such as koinam, there were also kinuyim for nazirus, such as the word nozik or noziach or whatever. So the Yerushalmi actually says, if a person were to say, I'm a nozik, he would become a nozir insofar as that if he now drinks wine or eats grapes or what have you, he gets malchus, but not in the sense of bring a korban. Because to bring a korban, you need nazirus daraisa, and the Yerushalmi is saying that it's only drabanan. So then it would come out, the same thing, kinuyim of nidorim would really only be in effect drabanan. So then, according to that, then the question is, if that's Dirabanan, and the other one is learned from a drosha from Sukkim, which is also, in a looser sense, Dirabanan, then what's the advantage of putting Kinuyim first? And we're back to the question, why didn't the Tana mention Yodis and then Kinuyim, and then start defining Yodis and then start defining Kinuyim? So the Gemara answers, Mikatani Yodis. After all, does the Mishnah say the word Yodis that you're even wondering about it in the first place? It's only Chasuri Machsura, we said before. So we said Velav Chasuri Kam Machsura Slo. And didn't you have to say that it's Chasuri Mechsera? So until now, we didn't want to assume that if the Tana left out something, he left it out at the beginning. We're going to assume it's not usually if a person starts speaking, he may start saying something and then he meant to add something else and then he forgot it. So we would say the Tana mentioned Kol Kinuyi and Adonim Kinadorim and the rest of the list over there. And then he forgot to mention Yodais before he started jumping in to define them. We would rather not say that he meant to mention the word Yodais and forgot it because that would have been at the beginning of a sentence and people don't usually do that. But now the Gemara says, in order to make the Mishnah work according to Reish Lakish's opinion, then in fact we could say the word Yodais really belongs at the beginning. In other words, the Mishnah should have started Kol Yodais Nedarim Kinadarim, which it left out, then B'chol Kinuyi Nedarim Kinadarim, and B'Elohen Yodais Ha'im Alachavei, and then the Yodais would be as the Mishnah starts defining them, and then B'Elohen Kinuyi, and the Kinuyi would be as defined later on in the parak Koinam Koinach Koinas. So in other words, we have now really three different ways, or we have two ways of understanding the structure of our Mishnah, and within that second way, we also have two ways of understanding it. First, we said that it's just random. Some Tanoim will do it one way, A, B, A, B, and others will do A, B, B, A, and it doesn't matter. Each Tana has his own style. Then we started today to say that there is a reason why the Tana chose this format. Now, what is that reason? That will depend on Rabbi Yochanan versus Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason will be because kinuyim are daraisa, because according to him, kinuyim are words from foreign languages, and those for sure have the force of a neder daraisa. Then comes yodos, which are learned from a drasha of psukim, which is less obvious, which can be called something, which can be called in a loose sense, something drabanan. So the Rambam, for example, uses the term sometimes when we have something that's learned from a drasha, the Rambam will call it midivrei sofim, even though it has the force of something daraisa. According to this, we're saying, for example, once we give the drasha, we're going to say, for example, that if a person says a neder with a yad, it's for sure effective as much as anything else daraisa. The same way as if a person says, this food is also to me like a korban, and he spells it out, everything, it's going to be also to him, and if he eats it, he gets malchus. The same way, if he says to his friend, if he says to the other guy, like he says in the Mishnah, Wudrani mimcha, the same thing is going to happen if he eats his friend's food, he's going to be chayiv malchus. No question about that. Still, the fact that we're learning it from a drasha makes it less obvious and allows us to call it something that's medivrei sofrim rather than purely daraisa. Purely daraisa would be something that it says explicitly in the pasuk, or something that we don't even need the pasuk to tell us because it's so posh. Once the pasuk tells us kachala yotzim apir yasa, then we understand that it means any language. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we are, after all, saying that the Mishnah is in an ABBA structure, kinuyim. Then it meant to say yodos and forgot to say that word. Then he starts explaining what yodos are. And then later on in the parak, we go on to define kinuyim.
And the Mishnah doesn't use forget words.
So not forget words, but sometimes, in other words, when you say chasuri mechsera many times, first of all, you have to remember the Mishnayos were learned baal peh. So yes, you could have that once people are used to learning a Mishnah a certain way, then they didn't want to add in extra words that should have been there because it'll confuse people. People are used to learning Mishnayos in a certain intonation, in a certain almost like trup. You actually have kisveyad in Mishnah that actually have trup on the words of the Mishnayos. So therefore, the Chum didn't want to tamper with the wording unless necessary.
Are we assuming that Rabbi Yehuda was so reflective because we're really saying, you're saying it is an argument that Tanoim should be awful, or the way they did different thoughts, the way they spoke it.
But well, yeah.
This was written by Rabbi Yehuda.
No, but you have to remember the Mishnayos were compiled as we have them by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. But you have to remember that he used collections of Mishnayos that were far older than him. Most of the time, that's why we say Stam Mishnah to Meir, because usually he took the Meir's format of his Mishnayos and used that as the basis. Many times throughout Shas, we'll have the Gemara says, Man Tana Lahad, Man Tana, who was the Tana of our Mishnah, and we'll identify that it's a different Tana. Sometimes we have an underlying Mishnah that goes back many generations, even some say all the way to the Anshik Nes Sagdola. So yeah, so over those hundreds of years, you had different Tanoim who taught in different styles, and therefore so again, one answer we were saying is that some Tanoim do one style and some another, and when Rebbe compiled the Mishnayos, then he wasn't going to go change the wording. Another possibility is we're saying that the Tana had a specific reason to use the style named the ABBA style, although having left out the word Yodos, because again, he wants to first mention the thing that's Daraisa. only then the thing that's learned from a drasha, but then to explain the thing that's learned from a drasha first because it's less obvious or because it's more chavir. And then according to a shlokish, we would say, never mind in the first place. Our Mishnah is in A-B-A-B style, the shlokish would say. The word yodos belongs at the beginning of the Mishnah. Instead of, according to the previous answers, we're saying that it belongs in the middle of the Mishnah after Kinuyim. No, according to Rish Lakish, we're going to say that the Tana meant to start with the words kol yodos nidarim kinidarim, left it out, started with Kinuyim, and then, so now it's a regular A, B, A, B order. Yodos, then Kinuyim. Now let's define yodos, now let's define Kinuyim. So that takes care of the structure of the Mishnah. Now let's get into the Yodis Heichaksim. So the Gemara asked, okay, you're telling me that Yodis, you have a Durasha. So where is this Durasha from? So like this. The Pasuk says, Ishki Yathli Lindo Neder Nazir Lahazir Lashem. The Pasuk says about Nazirus. So now Nazirus is a type of Neder, but we're going to get into soon how we generalize this to other Nedarim as well. The Pasuk says, if a person Yathli, he declares, Lindo Neder Nazir, to declare a Neder of Nazir, Lahazir Lashem, to be a nazir to Hashem. Now the word nazir lahazir, you have a duplication over there. You don't need on the face of it. You don't need both words for the simple sense of the pasuk. So we learn from that. Matanya, we learn in Braisa when it says neder lahazir, nazir lahazir means lasis kinuya nazirus kinazirus, the yodos nazirus kinazirus. It means both. It means that the kinuyim as well as the yodos of nazirus will be the same as nazirus. So again, the kinuyim, if a person says nozik or noziach, or yodos, where a person, for example, a nozir is passing by, and the person says, hey, I will be, where we understand from that that he means, I want to be like this guy. Again, according to our Gemara, on the face of it, it means all of them are equally well daraisa, because they're learned from the same drasha. We said before that Tosfos brings from a Yerushalmi that says that maybe, in fact, if a person uses the kinuyim, then maybe, in fact, it would only be derabanan, and he wouldn't actually bring the korbanos at the end. The Braisa continues, in the Ela B'Nazirus. Now, if you only knew that, you would only know that that's the case by Nazirus, B'Nedorim Minayin. How do we know the same kind of thing applies to other Nedorim as well? Now, the Gemara is going to ask soon, what do you mean? It says the double expression in this Pasuk as well. It says Lindo Neder. So what do we need any other drasha? But we'll get back to that soon. So the answer is, Talmud Lam, Ish Ki Yafli Lindo Neder Nazir Lahazir Lahashem, Makish Nidzirus Lanadorim Unadorim Lanazirus. Because the Pasuk says the word Neder and it says the word Nazir, therefore we have a Hekish between Nazirus and Nidorim and between Nidorim and Nazirus. And the Hekish therefore goes both ways, and we learn as follows. Ma Nazirus Osba Yodis Nazirus Kinazirus. So just like by Nazirus, we've established because it says Nazir Lahazir, therefore it includes the Yodis. The same way, when it comes to Nedarim, then the same thing, then Yodis will also have the effect of Nedarim. By the way, a couple of lines ago, when we said Lasis Kinuyim Nazirus Kinazirus, the Yodis Nazirim Nazirus Kinazirus, now why are we even mentioning Kinuyim over here? We just said before that Kinuyim you don't need a posit for. So in fact, the Ran takes those words out of the Gemara. Out of the beginning of the Braisa, when we said Batanya Nazir Lahazir, he takes out the words Lasis Kinuyin Nazirus Kinazirus. The Rosh keeps them in, but he says, you're right, the Braisa didn't really need to mention them, it just mentioned them because we usually tend to think of Kinuyim and Yodis together. But in fact, yeah, the Drosha is specifically on Yodis. And therefore, when the Braisa is continuing over here about the Hekish, then we're focusing only on Yodis. Kinuyim is something else. So again, Makish Nazirus Lunadarim or Nadarim Lunazirus. So we're making a Hekish between Nadarim and Nazirus, and between Nazirus and Nadarim, and Nadarim to Nazirus. Ma Nazirus also by Yodis Nazirus Kinazirus. So just like by Nazirus, we're saying that the Yodis are considered like the Nazirus. We're learning that from the word Neder, from the word Nazir Lahazir. Af Nadarim, also by Yodis Nadarim Kinadarim. So it is about Nadarim that also Yodis count like the real thing. That's what the Hekish tells us. And again, the Gemara is going to ask soon why we need the Hekish if it says right there in the Pasuk, Lindo Ned. So we'll get back to that soon. And the Braisa continues, and the Hekish goes the other way. Uman Nedarim over b'val yachal b'al ta'achar. Now, when it comes to Nedarim, if a person violates his neder, then he's over on a mitzvah in the Torah right there in Parshas Nedarim. Lo yachal dvare, he's not allowed to desecrate his word. and he's over, and he can be over on Bal Ta'acher, namely the other kind of neder, the kind of neder that we're not really focusing much on in our Masechta, in the Dorim of Hektish. If a person says, for example, I make a neder to bring a korban, he has a certain amount of time to bring it before he's over on a mitzvah where the Torah says, Lo Sa'acher L'Shalmo. There's a whole sugya about it in Rosh Hashanah. We had a year and a half ago. And a whole sugya with several different opinions of Tanoim, how long has to go by before the person is over, one regal, two regalim, three regalim, or three regalim in order, etc. Anyway, so three regalim in order would mean, let's say the person made the neder right after Pesach. So we would say the clock doesn't start ticking until the following Pesach, because they have to be in the order Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So he actually has close to 2 years before he has to bring his korban and then he's over on this mitzvah. So anyway, so by nedarim, definitely a person is over if he violates his neder, if he makes a neder not to eat this bread and that this bread is also to him, for example, and he eats it, then he's chayev on bal yachol. If he makes a neder to bring a korban and he doesn't bring it within the proper amount of time, then he's over on bal ta'acher. So af nezirus over vayachol about ta'acher, same way, says the Braisa, the Hekesh teaches us that by nezirus also, it's a person is over on both of those things, which we're going to continue on Omid Beis. We're going to discuss what are the scenarios, when is a person over on vayachol of nazir, and when is a person over on bal ta'acher of nazir. So we'll get back to that.
Is a higher level.
What?
Yodis,
we're saying not really a higher level, but we're saying Yodis we need a drosha for. We're saying that kinuyim we don't really need a drosha for. Either if we say that kinuyim are words from the Goyish languages, then you don't need any kind of drosha. It's obvious that a nedu in any language works. If you say the Lashonis Shabbat Lahem Chachamim, then again we can say, as the Ran says, that those are also obvious. It's obvious that Chachamim have every right to make up words just as much Lahabdul, they would more so than the Goyim do. On the other hand, we have what Tosfos is bringing from the Yerushalmi, that maybe indeed those are effective only Drabbanan. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Here's another comparison we're going to make between Nedarim and Nezirus. Now, when it comes to Nedarim, as we're going to learn towards the end of our Masechta, a father is able to revoke Nedarim of his daughter, and a husband is able to revoke Nedarim of his wife, which we're going to discuss the details of those in great detail in the last two prakim of our Masechta. We touched on it briefly in Ksubas. When it comes to a husband with his wife, he can't be mefer just any kind of neder. There's only two types that he can be mefer. Nidre inui nefesh, nedarim of affliction, where, for example, she's denying herself something, which fine, nezirus is of that type. But let's say, for example, if she were to make a neder, for example, that doesn't involve inui nefesh or doesn't involve dvorim shebeina levena, that doesn't affect their marital relationship, then the husband has no rights over the nedarim, over such a nedarim. The Ran over here mentions a father canceling his daughter's nedarim. And he mentions this point which actually later on in the Masechta we'll deal with in detail, that the Ran holds, unlike many other Rishonim, that the same rule is true as far as a father and his daughter. The father can't just be made for any neder of his daughter, also only inui nefesh or dvarim shebein levena. Other Rishonim disagree with that. We'll get into that point in the last parakim of our Masechta. That's the gem. Anyway, the point is, the Braisa says, the same way as nedarim, a father has the right and a husband has his wife has the right over his daughters or his wife's nedarim. It says so explicitly in the pasuk. Af nezirus, ha'av mefer, nezirus bitay, oval mefer nezirus ishtay. The same way when it comes to nezirus, a woman makes a neder of nezirus, then her father can cancel it or her husband can cancel it. Because otherwise we wouldn't know. In the parasha of Nezirus, in parasha's Nasa, it doesn't say anything about a father or a husband canceling it. Only in parasha's Matis, it says it generically about Nedarim. Therefore, we need the Hekesh to teach us that the same is true as far as Nezirus as well. Okay, thus far the Braisa. Now, let's start analyzing it. Maishna gam Nezirus. Now, what are you telling me? By Nezirus, you're saying, where are we learning the concept of Yodres? Yichtiv Nazir Lahazir, because of this double expression in the pasuk. Well then, Nedarim nami haksiv lindo neder. Well, Nedarim, in the very same pasuk, it says the word lindo neder, which is also a double expression, and the hekesh alamali. So what do you need the hekesh for? Just say whenever you have the double expression, then you're learning from it yodis. What's the point of a hekesh in the first place? And the answer is no. It's true that sometimes the Torah will use a double expression, but let's look carefully at these two expressions. The word nozir lahazir, you're putting the noun, the word nozir is a noun. It's a name of something, a name of a type of person who's done this neder. And then lahazir is a verb that, what did he do? He made a neder of nozir. So therefore, so now with nedarim also, if the pasuk used the word neder first, which is a noun, and then lahadir, which is the verb, then yes, kid kosev, nazir lahazir, which would be the same structure as nazir lahazir, kid kamrit, then you'd be right, loit sorech hakesha. You wouldn't need the hekesh because you'd have the exact same structure by both them. Hashid, chtiv, linder, neder. But here instead, the wording in the pasuk is to declare a neder. So you put in the verb first, then the noun, then we can say, not necessarily are we meant to darshan anything from that, because dibra Torah, koloshim ne'adam, because the Torah often speaks in common language. At the time, the Torah was given, and for long afterwards, the style was to use a double expression like that. The same way as you have, for example, in last week's parasha, we call it agon, ochel toichel. You have many other. You have in mitzvahs all over the place in the Torah. Pasayach tiftach, hanik tanik, koshiv toshiv, etc. So it was a style they used in those times. No, so that's not necessarily a common style that was in the Torah. No question. Even if we say Dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam, there's many things that we learn from the wording, from the exact wording of the Torah. But in that particular case, yeah, in this week's parasha, we learn something about using proper language because it says Asher Lo Tahorahi instead of Tmei. Sure. But nevertheless, when it comes to, there's a certain style that people had of speaking in those days, and you could say the Torah adopts that style as well, and not necessarily are we dashing anything special from it. Well, the question is, that point is in fact a machloikas in a number of places in Shas. Well, that works out according to the opinion that Dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam, that we do in fact say that in various places in Shas, that when we have a double expression like that, it's not necessarily meant to teach us something. If we want to learn, so you'll have one opinion, you'll have over there, for example, Rabbi Akiva will say that we learn something from the double expression, and a different Tana, I think Rabbi Shmuel, will say no. If you want to learn out that din, you have to learn it from a different pasuk because you can't learn it out from the double wording because that's just the style. So if you say that, and then fine, you can say that. So now, in our case, instead of being able to learn out yodis of nedarim directly from the word from the words linder neder, you're going to have to use the hekesh to learn it out. Fine. El lamando less le dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam. But according to the opinion that you don't say dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam, when we always find something that double expression in the Torah teaches us some kind of limud. Well, then hi linder neder my obid le. Well, then what is he doing with the word lindo neder? Why, according to him, now, since on the face of it, you don't need the hekesh, but the fact is he is using the hekesh. The fact is he's not using the word lindo neder for that drasha. Instead, he's using the hekesh because we don't find in the braisa anyone arguing with the hekesh. Well, then what is he doing with the words lindo neder? So the Ran, in fact, points out that like this. Now you do have, the Gemara mentions sometimes the idea that even when you have something that you could have learned with the Kal Vachomer, sometimes the Torah will still take the trouble to write it out. So you could say the same thing, something that you could have learned with a Hekesh, maybe you could say the Pasuk took the trouble to write it out. That is why, to begin with, the Gemara didn't start by asking, what are we doing with Lindo Neder? The Gemara started with, why do we need the Hekesh? Now that we establish that we have the hekesh, then still we're saying there is an opinion that dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam and they need the hekesh. So okay, we're saying that if you say that not dibra Torah Koloshim Ne'adam, now it's true we don't know yet that he's using the hekesh, but we still have to figure out. So maybe he doesn't use the hekesh, but what is he using the words lindo neder for? Because we didn't see anything indicating what he's going to use that for. So like this, there's two ways that we can learn the concept of yodes by nedarim. We can learn it from a hekesh, or we can learn it from the word lindo neder. The braisa told us we learn it from a hekesh. So at that point, the Gemara didn't wonder, so why do you have the words lindo neder? Because sometimes you have something that you could have learned from a hekesh, the Torah writes out in full as well. But now we're saying there is a hekesh. On the other hand, though, that may be only according to the opinion that Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, so therefore we have no other way to learn this din than the Hekesh. But now the question is, if we say that not Dibur, that we say that the Torah is not Dibur Kolosh Bnei Adam, and every double expression of it means something. So now we have, maybe they're using the Hekesh, maybe not, we don't even know. It's possible that they say we don't need the Hekesh for this purpose, but we still have to ask, what are they doing with the words Linder Neder? And then we can say, maybe they agree that there's a Hekesh here or not. But first, we can't even ask. In other words, the Ran says, we can't ask, why aren't they learning from the Hekesh? Okay, maybe they don't hold of the Hekesh. Yeah. So therefore, so we need to figure out, because there's two different opinions over here, Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam or not Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam.
Initially,
we were saying
for a noun
that doesn't require
a question.
No, that's what we said. If we had it in the form neder lahadir, then we would say that we wouldn't need the hekesh according to anybody.
Right.
So we didn't say according to anybody. That's the point. We were saying according to the opinion that Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, we wouldn't, according to the opinion that not Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, rather, then we would say that that's where we're learning it from. Now, according to that opinion, now we're saying that we can't learn it from those words. Nevertheless, according to the opinion Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, then we don't have any other source to know this other than the Hekesh. But according to the opinion that we don't say Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, maybe we could learn it from those words after all. But we seem to be learning it from the Hekesh. But the question now becomes: what are we doing? If we say that we're using the Hekesh, then what are we using those words for? And if we don't say that they're using the Hekesh, we also have to ask what they're using the words for, because we don't see in the Braisa them saying anything about that we're learning this din from there. So the answer is Dorish le Yat Lasis Yodis Nedorim Kinedorim. As a matter of fact, he does say that we learn Yodis from it. So in short, in other words, we have, according to the two different opinions, we have two different ways of learning Yodis Nedorim. One is to learn from Nozir Lahazir and then use a Hekesh to teach that the same thing is true about Nedarim. And the other way is to say that it says directly right there by Nedarim, because we are going to use the words Ned, we are going to use the words Lindo Neder, even though we said before verb or noun or whatever, according to the opinion that we don't say Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, we don't care about that. The very fact that you use a double expression clues us in that there's something going on over here. So he's going to say that we learn it from that. And then Nozir Lahatza, and then Umakish Nizirus Lanadorim. He's going to say, on the contrary, how do we know the same thing applies by Nizirus is because of the Hekesh. So Fakir, the first opinion that we were saying, it was saying that we learn the concept of Yodos first by Nizirus. Then we apply it to Nedarim by a Hekesh. According to that opinion, we can't say that the Torah means to tell us separately by Nedarim, because then it would have put the word lahat, then it would have put the word neder first, like it does by Nazir. So instead, we're saying that that's just a stylistic thing, Dibur Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. Therefore, all we have is a Hekesh to teach us that it applies by Nedarim. Now, the second opinion is going the other way around, saying that by Nedarim, the Pasuk is using a double expression, therefore we learn from that the concept of Yodis. In turn, we apply that to Naziros through a Hekesh. And now, Nozir Lahazir, Dorish Lay, then what is he doushing from the words Nozir Lahazir? He's doushing a different thing. Melamed, Shanaziros, Chal Ala Naziros. From there, this opinion would say that we learn that one Naziros can be Chal on top of another Naziros. Which means, in other words, like this. So the Ran versus the Mefarish give two slightly different scenarios. The Ran gives a scenario that a person says twice in succession. He says, I will be a Nozir today. He says, Hareini Nozir Hayoim, Hareini Nozir Hayoim. Now, Nazirus lasts a minimum of 30 days. So we don't say, now, when it comes to, for example, a neder, we're going to talk about later on in our parak, a regular neder, a person says, for example, this bread is also to me as a korban, and then he says again, this bread is also to me as a korban, nothing happens with the second one. If he goes and eats that bread, he's getting one malchus, not two, because one neder can't be chal on top of another. Once it's also to him, it can't become more also. Nazirus is not like that, though. And we're saying we're learning that from this word, nazir, lahazir, from this double expression. According to this mandamar, we're learning that it is possible for a person to declare two nazirus, one right after the other. And what happens is the first one takes effect then right away. He becomes a nazir now. 30 days later, he shaves, brings his carbonus, and starts a second term of nazirus.
Well, you can't go straight to one.
Well, you can't. No, because he made them a separate nazirus. If he had said to begin with, I'll be a nozer for 60 days, then yeah, it would be one straight thing. But here, where he said it as two separate statements, and each one is 30 days. The Mefarish over here, printed under the name Rashi, gives a slightly different scenario. Suppose a person is already a nozer, and he says, Harini nozer. So the same idea. He finishes off his current term of nazirus, and then he brings his karbanos, and then starts the new term of nazirus that he declared in the middle. Again, we don't say because he's already a nazir, then therefore there's no room for it to be chal. It is chal. It's just kind of the Gemara in nazir uses an expression for it. It's kind of suspended there and waiting until it has room to take effect, namely when his current nazirus is finished. It describes over there in the Gemara, it talks about you could have a case where a person is matu neder on his first nazirus, where then the second one can be chal sooner. Anyway, the point is that concept of nazirus, chal al nazirus, we learn from the words nazir lahazir. So therefore, so again, according to this Manda Omer, we're saying like this: we don't say divar Torah klosh min arba. Every time there's a double expression, doesn't matter whether noun verb or verb noun, we're going to douch in something from it. In the case of the pasuk mentioned a double expression for nedarim and a double expression for nazirus. Therefore, we're saying the double expression manidarim teaches us about yodos. Then, because they're in the same pasuk, we learn from that to nazirus by a hekesh. And then by nazirus, we have another din that we have separate din that we learn from double expression by that, namely that nazirus chal al nazirus. That's according to that mandarim. Now, meanwhile, so far we had said, according to the previous opinion, if we say divar Torah klosh bnei adam, then we had distinguished between the double form by nazirus versus by nedarim, and we said the double form by nazirus can teach us something, but the double form by nedarim cannot, and therefore, according to that mandamer, we said yodos, we learn from nazirus, and then we learn it by a hekesh to nedarim as well. So now the question is, now, if you're going to go back to the opinion that Dibra Torah Kolosh Me'adam, the Nozir Lahazir Dorish Lasis Yodis Nizirus Kinizirus, and he's using the words Nozir Lahazir to douch in that Yodis Nizirus are like Nizirus, not like the other Manda Omar who we said learns from that Nizirus Kal on Nizirus. Well, this opinion that Dibra Torah Kolosh Me'adam would seem to agree that Nizirus is Chal on Nizirus. So where is he going to learn that from? If he doesn't have available the words nazir lahazir for that, because he already used it to teach us about yodis nazirus, then where is he learning that din? In fact, the Ran points out later on in our Masechta, we are going to talk about this matter of a person says that we're going to describe a different scenario over there where a person says Harei Olai Shtei Nazirus. We're going to describe where to begin with the person says two terms of Nazirus are Chal. And then we say again, he does them back to back, one of 30 days and another one of 30 days. So we're going to end up saying actually that we learn that from the word Nazir Lahazir. The Ram says, fine, that's according to the opinion that Lo Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam. So therefore we said that Nazir Lahazir is extra, and we're saying you can learn from it that two terms of Nazirus can be chal, whether the person said them one after the other or whether he said them in the same moment. But here we're dealing according to the opinion that Dibra Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, the fact is he does agree with the basic din, so where is he learning it from if he can't learn it from Nazir Lahazir? And the answer is, and the Gemara continues before it gets to the answer. Now, this point actually, whether Nazirus chal on Nazirus is not universally agreed to. Later on, in our Masechta, we're going to have a machlokas about that point. Taka, in those cases, in the scenarios that the Ran or the Mefarish are mentioning, where he says, I'll be a Nazir today, and then he says again, I'll be a Nazir today. Or where he's already a nazir, and then he says, I'll be a nazir, is that chal or not? It's not universally agreed to that works. So Honicha is Vira like Mandoma in the Zeros Chal on the Zeros. Well, if the opinion that Dibra Torah Kolosh Mene Adam does not agree with the concept of Nazirus Chal on the Zeros, well then good. So in that case, in that case, he has only one thing that he's learning from Nazir Lahazir, namely Yodis Nazirus. From that, he's learning to Nadarim by a Hekish. Nadarim, he's not learning anything but explicit by it because Dibra Torah Kolosh Mene Adam. So we're good. We have one Jerusha from Nazir Lahazir, nothing from Lindo Neder, because Dibra Torah Kolosh Mene Adam, and good. Ella is Sevilla Commander Omen, Zerus Chal on the Zerus. But if you were to say that the Tana that holds Dibra Torah Kolosh Mene Adam also holds of the concept of the Zerus Chal on the Zerus, Menole, then where would he get it from? Because then according to him, Lahazir Nazir is teaching us about Yodos, and how can he also use it to teach us that the Zerus Chal on the Zerus?
Why do you have to go both ways to Nether Lahazir? If you already understand from Nether Lahazir that it's a redundant lashon.
That's the thing, because we said before there's a difference between Nether Lahazir and Lindo Nether. Verb noun or noun verb. According to the opinion that Dibra Torah Kolosh Mene Adam, which is what we're dealing with right over here, then there's a difference between them. One we can darshan from, one we can't. So according to them, the very fact that we learn that this concept of Yodos applies to Nedarim is only learned from a Hekish. According to him, we're using Lahazir Nazir to teach us the foundation of that halacha comes from Lahazir Nazir. And then we apply it by a Hekish to other Nedarim. So according to them, where are we learning about Nazirus, Chal on Nazirus? And so the question now becomes, if you say that Tana holds that Nazirus, Chal on Nazirus, then where is he learning it from? If the word Lahazir Nazir is already used for something else. And the answer is, they can still learn it from the same word because name a krill Lizer. Because if the Pasuk just wanted to tell us the double expression, it could have used the word Lizer, why would be the advantage of writing Lizer? So the Ran says, because it would parallel the structure of the word linder. You have a lamed with a chivik, then you have the shodesh with a shva under the first letter of it. So in the case of the word lizer, actually the properly it should be linzer, but a lot of times you have the nun drops out of shoreshim, so therefore it becomes lizer, but it would still be the same structure as the word linder. So if it said that, then yeah, we could only learn one thing. My lahazir, instead it uses a different verbal form, lahazir, therefore that Manda Amma would say, shamet mina tauti, therefore we can learn two things from that.
Lizer
would be the same form, would be the same structure of word as the word linda. Because one has a nun and one doesn't, but fine, a nun often drops out in shoshim.
What is it, lizer? What's the root?
The root of lizer would be nazir.
And you would have the Zion, the Shva, and then...
What you would have is, there would be an implicit Nun that would have had a Shva, except it drops out. The same, you have, by the way, with the word Neder as well. You sometimes have verbal forms of Neder that are missing the Nun also. Lider, as there's a valid form that you find in Tanakh. So the same way over here, Lizer would be a valid form to say to become a Nazir. Instead, it uses a completely different form, Lahazir. So now we can learn two things from it. One, that one, the concept of Yodos, and because of the double expression, the Nazir Lahazir, and number two, the concept that Nazirus Chal on Nazirus. The Rashash, by the way, points out another point as well. He says, the difference between Lizer and Lahazir, Lizer is a form that is a verbal form that you use when a person is doing something for himself. Lahazir, a hey at the beginning of a verb over there, makes it more into something that you do to somebody else. For example, the word lahagid, let's say, means to inform somebody else. So the same way over here. If it just meant the person is declaring a nazirus for himself, then lizer would be the proper form. Lahazir is not even the expected form. Besides what the Ran is saying, that it doesn't parallel linder, the Rashash is saying also, it's not even expected in this context because lahazir suggests to make somebody else a nazir. And therefore, according to this man d'amar, you can learn something extra from it.
Wow, that really takes it out of context. And that means that the first way of learning it.
It means that if it said lizer, then we would say that's the
room for two drushes.
Yeah. So that's what we're saying. According to that, it leaves room for two drushes. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Bama Rava Ami, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they said. And that actually is Tana demapically. So all this time, what have we been saying all this time? We have two different ways of learning Yodis Nidarim. One is to say we learn it from Nazir to begin with, from Nazir Lahazir, and then we use a Hekish to teach that it also applies to Nidarim. The other way was to say that we learn it directly from Lindo Neder. So B'ma'ar Rav Amri in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, you can't learn two things from the word Lahazir. Fine, it may be true that the word Lahazir is an unusual way of phrasing it, and therefore maybe it calls out for a Durasha. But in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they said that, no, that's not how it is. Is Tana de Mapata li Yodis min Lindo Neder? Some Tanoim learn the concept of Yodis from Lindo Neder, as we said, and they use Nozir Lahazir for a different Durasha. The Is Tana, the Mapa claim in Kola Yotzma Pivyasa. Then there are other Tanoim who Bechalal learn it from a whole different pasuk, where it says that a person has to fulfill whatever comes out of his mouth, which implies whatever kind of neder he made, even if it's only a yad. So now, when it comes to Kola Yotzma Pivyasa, the Ran points out there is another thing that we learn later on in the Masechta. We're going to learn from Kachol Ayotz and Piv Yaseh. We're going to talk about a case of Neder Shehuta Mitzasei. Suppose you have, imagine it describes a scenario over there. A person sees a bunch of people eating his fruit from a distance, and he yells out to them, this fruit should be also to you under a coin. Then he comes closer and realizes that some of the people eating there are actually his father or his brothers or his relatives. He wouldn't have wanted to answer it to them. So he says, you know, if I'd realized that my father was there, I wouldn't have made such a net. We call that neder shehuta mitzasei huta kuloi. We're going to say later on, there's actually a machlokes tanoim about it, but whatever. According to the halacha is that neder shehuta mitzasei huta kuloi, and once part of it was canceled, then all of it is canceled. So we learn that also from Kohala Yotzim Pivyasa. So the Ran points out the fact is both of those are equally the mashmos of the pasuk. Number one, that anything a person says, even if it's only a yad, it counts as a neder. And number two, that it has to be that all of what he said is still in effect, and not that some of it falls away because he said, I wouldn't have made the neder if I had known that.
What's the context of Ma'ar Rav Amri? Where's the continuation?
We're saying that Ma'ar Rav Amri in Eretz Yisrael, they said, you're telling me that according to one man de Omer, we can learn from the word Lahazir two different drushes. In Ma'ar Rav, they said, this is how the Ran explains it. In Ma'ar Rav, they said, there's no way that anybody can say that you learn two words, that you learn two completely different dinim from the word Lahazir, that you should learn the concept of Yodis and that you should learn the Zeros, Chal on the Zeros. You can't do that, so they say in Ma'ar Rav. Rather, you have to say, some Tanoim will learn it from Lindo Neder. And then, according to the Tanoim, who hold Dibra Torah Kolosh Mnei Adam, and therefore Lindo Neder doesn't mean anything special. Instead, they're going to learn it from Kachol Yotzim Piv Yaseh. Anything that comes out of a person's mouth, he has to do. Well, therefore, so a yad is something that came out of his mouth. Okay. Now, we said in the Braisa on Amud Aleph, we said that one of the things we learned from the Hekish is that just like the dinim of Baal Yachel and Baal Ta'achar apply to Nedarim, so they apply to the Zeus. So let's analyze that. When it comes to Nedarim, it's easy to see how a person is over on Baal Yachel. Suppose a person made a neder that I'm going to eat this loaf of bread, and he doesn't end up eating it. So then he's over on that he violated his word. He said he was going to do it and not. So it's easy to see. Now, it's not so easy to see, actually. Gilyon Ashas from Rabbi Akiva Eger at the bottom of the page points out, what kind of a neder is that? A neder is, we said yesterday, is on the cheftza. You're saying this object becomes also to me. A shvua, sure, a person can make a shvua that I won't eat, that I will eat this bread, and he doesn't, and then he's over on his shvua. But to say a neder that I will eat this bread, what kind of a neder is that? He says, you can't, according to many poskim, you can't even call it a yad, because since when do you find a neder to do a maaser? And the Rabbi Akiva Eger uses a strong expression, and he says, Vashem yo'ir eini. May Hashem enlighten my eyes to understand this. You find in Rabbi Akiva Eger, sometimes he uses just Tzorich Iyun, this requires analysis, Tzorich Iyun Katan, Tzorich Iyun Gadol. Hashem Yoreini is like the strongest expression he uses. I can't possibly understand that. With that said, a couple of Achronim, that Ashash and Paras Yosef and some others, give a scenario. Suppose that a person we're going to talk about later in the Masechta, where there's two loaves of bread, and a person makes a neder contingent on one. He says something like, if I eat this one, then the other one should be also to me like a korban or something like that. So then you can talk about scenarios where he has to eat the one or doesn't have to eat the one. And therefore, so you could construct such a scenario, they say. And with that said, there are Rishonim who have the Girsa over here in the Gemara that just the other way around. He says, Kikozu loy oichal va'ochlo. He says, I won't eat this bread, which is a valid neder, and then he ate it. So then sure, over about Mishum Bal Yachol Dvar. El Bal Yachol the Nizirus Heichem Ashkachasla. How is it possible to be over on Bal Yachol of Nizirus? The point of the question is that at this point, the Gemara is assuming that that we're saying that he's over only on Bal Yachol. Now, what is the case where a Nazir would be over on one of the dinim of his Nazirus and only be over on Bal Yachol without also being over on a specific mitzvah in the Torah? The Torah tells him not to eat wine, not to drink wine, not to eat grapes, not to become Tomei, etc. And each one of those is a lav of its own. So if he eats grapes, yeah, maybe he's over on Bal Yachol, but he's over on the mitzvah of not eating grapes. At this point, the Gemara wants to understand that that we should find a scenario where he's over exclusively on Bal Yachol. Well, how do you find that? By a Nazir. And the answer is Kivin de Omer Harini Nazir. So at Kivin de Omer Harini Nazir. That's continuing the question. Once he says I'm a Nazir, Havalei Nazir, at that point he becomes a Nazir. Ochal, and now if he eats the grapes, Komlei B'Bal Yoichel, then he's over on the mitzvah not to eat grapes. Shasa Komlei B'Bal Yishteh, and if he drinks, he's over on Bal Yishteh, so he's over on that. He's not also, so fine, maybe you can say he's also over on Bal Yachol. We're going to revisit that point tomorrow, Bez Hashem, but right now, the Gemara is assuming he can't only be over on Bal Yachol because we have the specific issue that applies to him as a Nazir. The answer is Omar Rabba. That's what it means. Lava all the Bishnaim. Lava all the Bishnaim. Fine, that's what it would mean. He's over on both. If he eats grapes or drinks wine or what have you, he's over on the specific mitzvah that he was over on for a Nazir, plus he's over on the more general issue of Bal Yachol. So the Ran points out the Gemara didn't want to assume that in the first place, also because we have a general rule in the Gemara that where possible, we should assume that different Isurim in the Torah are not just meant to put more lavim on the same action, but rather to teach us different actions that are also. But here we have no choice, and we have to say that the Bal Yachol is actually teaching us that when he eats grapes, he's not only over on the issue of eating grapes and gets Malchus for that. In addition, he's also over on Bal Yachol and is getting Malchus for that. So that's the answer. Okay, so now the question is Bal Ta'achar de Nazir Seichem Ashkachasla. Okay, now let's go to Bal Ta'achar. How do you have a scenario by a Nazir where you should be over on Bal Ta'achar? Kiven de Omer Hayini Nazir, Havale Nazir. Again, as soon as he says I'm a Nazir, he becomes a Nazir. Ochal, and if he eats grapes or what have you, come labor Bal Yoichal. Then he's over on Bal Yoichal. But where is the Bal Ta'achar? Where is the delaying? The korban is not going to be delayed because he ate grapes. So later on, we're going to talk about tomorrow, Bez Hashem, the case where he became Tomei. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that just the fact that he becomes Tomei and he's going to bring his korbanos tahara later than usual, that doesn't necessarily constitute Bal Ta'achar, the fact that he's already a Nazir. The Gemara is assuming that the primary part of the neder was to become a Nazir, and he did that right away. So the answer is, So the answer is because suppose that he doesn't say I'm becoming a Nazir right now. He says whenever I want, I'm going to become a Nazir. So that's it. So he's saying that. So he's not saying I'm becoming a Nazir right now. He's saying when I want to. Now, if he delays becoming a Nazir, then he's being over on the mitzvah of Bal Ta'achar. The Ran discusses in some detail. The Ran and the Rosh discuss over here. Would that mean that he's over right away, or maybe it would be like the Dorim of Korbanos, where he's only over after 3 years ago? So the question is,
what is the answer?
Whenever I feel like it, I'm going to become a Nazir.
I'm saying it for now.
No, he's saying right now, I'm saying in the future, at some point, when I feel like it, I'm going to become a Nazir. We have two different ways of understanding the next line of the Gemara, which will help answer that question. So the Gemara says, So then the question is that if he says she'erze, then how is there Bal Ta'achar? Whenever he wants, he could be. So on the face of it, Bal Ta'achar would only apply once he says that once the clock starts ticking. On the face of it, if he says lach she'erze, then he doesn't yet want to, so therefore the clock shouldn't start ticking. And the answer, so again, what we're saying in the Gemara, this we're saying in the Gemara is question. The other way of understanding it is that this is the continuation of the answer of the Gemara. So we'll get back to that in a few lines. We'll get back to that after we learn the next couple of lines. So Omar Rabba, going to Omar, the case would be where he said, Loi et potter mina olam ad she'ehe nazir. He says, I won't pass away from the world before I become a nazir. The mina he shaita havalei nazir. Now, when he makes such a declaration, right away from that moment, he becomes a Nazir.
Because no one knows when
he's going to die. The same parallel thing as we have, if a husband says to his wife, here's your get, and it should take effect a moment before I die. It can't take effect when he dies, because ain't get lachamisa, and we don't know when he's going to die. Asura lechol b'truma miyad. Then if he's a koyin and his wife is an HS koyin, she can't eat truma right away, because at any moment it might be that her husband dies. Alma amrinin kol shayta v'shayta duma mayis. So we see that at any moment we can say he might die. Hochanami la'alter have a note. The reason would be because at any moment the husband might die, and then retroactively, a moment before that, the get took effect. Once she's divorced, she's not an Eishes Kohen anymore. She can't eat truma. Yeah. So hochanami la'alter have a nazir, the same way over here. If he says, I will become a nazir before I die, and he doesn't know when he's going to die, damrinin duma hashta mayis. So we say he might die now, and therefore that the therefore so now if he delays, then he's going to be over on Bal Ta'achar. So that is a case where you could have where a person is over on Bal Ta'achar as a result of so we were asking, how is it possible for a person to be over on Bal Ta'achar with Nazir? On the face of it, he becomes a Nazir as soon as he says it, and the answer is because he's not just saying I'll become a Nazir whenever I feel like it, he's saying I'll become a Nazir before I die. So now so the Ran explains the question is the discussion in the Gemara is going like this again, that we're saying so what we're doing is that's the thing. So what we just said is basically according to the Ran. What's the case of Bal Ta'achar? And the answer is where he says loya potim na olam. Tosfos actually brings a different way of understanding the structure of those last couple of lines in the Gemara. What we're saying is, even if he says l'cha'erze, wouldn't it be the same as saying loya potim in olam? And the answer is what we would actually say is, if he says loya potim in olam, we wouldn't say in the future he has to become a nazir at some point. We'd be saying la'alter having nazir right now on the spot. He's becoming a Nazir. So in other words, one way of understanding the Gemara is to say that when he says loya potim in olam, it's true. It doesn't mean he becomes a Nazir right away. But if he doesn't do it soon, he might die. He has a responsibility to make sure as much as possible that he should become a Nazir and finish his Nazirus before he dies. That requires him to actually follow up. He said loya potim in olam ad shehei Nazir. He has a responsibility, this is how the Ran explains it, to follow up right away and actually become a Nazir so that there's a better chance of him finishing his Nazirus before he dies. As opposed to, according to one explanation in Tosfos, what we're saying is no. When he says loya potim in olam ad shehei Nazir, right away on the spot, he becomes a Nazir. But the answer is that nevertheless, we can still say we can still say that Bal Ta'achar applies because even though we're saying that he does become a Nazir on the spot. So in other words, we have the scenario before when he says L'cha'erze, hey Nazir, then that is where he would be over on Bal Ta'achar. So two different ways of understanding the Gemara. When he says loya potim in olam, does that make him a nazir right away, or does that make it that he has to now become a nazir as soon as possible? As soon as possible means that he has to. So now you have within that the discussion between the Ran and the Rosh whether that means that he has to do it right away or whether he has 3 years of golden before he starts being over. The Ran also points out that, I mean, on the face of it, the Gemara could have constructed a much simpler scenario. It could have said, let's say, for example, he says, I'm going to become a Nazir within 2 years from now. Now, within 2 years, no matter what, according to all the opinions, if it was a Korban, he'd be over on Bal Ta'achar. But the point is, the Ran says that still, the Gemara chose to use this more complicated scenario over here in order to demonstrate this point that when he says loya potim in olam ad shehei nazir, then it requires him to make that nazirus as soon as possible. We shouldn't say that it means that he has 3 years golem to do it. No, he has to do it right away as soon as possible because he never knows when he might die, and therefore he has to make sure. Now it's true, of course, he might die within 30 days and he doesn't end up completing his nazirus, but he has a responsibility as much as possible to make sure that the nazirus has the best possible chance of finishing before he dies, and the way to do that is to become a Nazir right away, Whereas again, according to Tosfos, one possibility is we're saying that when he says lo yapotim in ha'olam ad she'eh nazir, does not mean that actually he becomes a nazir right there on the spot, and therefore there's no bal ta'achah possible with that because he's already a nazir and there's nothing to talk about. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, in the Gemara, with continuing with other possible scenarios where a nazir is able to be over on bal, how delaying the zeros is able to cause being over on bal ta'achah. So we'll get to that tomorrow, Best Hashem.